Welcome, everybody, to our monthly sponsorship forum. I'm Suzanne, and we have Cheryl and Susan on the line. Let's begin with the Serenity Prayer. God.
God.
Grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
To
accept the things I cannot change.
Courage.
Courage.
To change the things I can.
And wisdom. And the wisdom. To know the
difference.
I will. Not mine, be done.
Okay, everybody. So here are a few guidelines. Let's see. You have to have 30 days of continuous abstinence and be a sponsor in order to share your experience, strength, and hope. However, anybody may ask a question. If you do have a question, please be brief and to the point. Susan's going to be our timekeeper. We'll have 3-minute time shares. Please acknowledge Susan. As I said, let's try to stay on the topic. And this is being recorded. So we are talking about one of the things that was brought up was your sponsee can't get 7 days or 30 days. And what can we do to help our sponsees when we find them in that situation? Cheryl, would you like to begin, please?
Okay, sure. This is Cheryl, compulsive eater. What do I do when my sponsee says I just can't get it together, I can't get my 30 days, or I can't get my 7 days? I'm struggling. First of all, I know the feeling. I'm not one of those that can say I have 15 years of back-to-back abstinence, unfortunately. I've had my shares of slip and relapse. So I know how hard it is to come back. I know how hard it is to get started on that day one. But I found the answer. And my thing was, what attracted me to this program in the first place? What got me started here? Why did I come here? Well, there were a few reasons for me. When I first came in, I had been on different diets. I knew how to lose weight. Some people got up and they spoke about their weight loss. That didn't impress me much. But what I heard next did, when people started talking about the time of abstinence, the length of their abstinence. When we talked about long-term abstinence, you know, I heard people say, I've got 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. It's like, oh, wow, this thing works. I mean, you don't only lose weight, you keep it off. How do I do that? How do I get that? You know, and that's what got me interested, and that's what got me coming back again and again. Also, the other thing was understanding why it was that I ate. Every other diet did not tell me why I ate. They just told me what not to eat and then go on. And when I was done, they didn't help me continue and stay abstinent. Here, there was help. There was support. There were people out there willing to give me their time, no charge, and they were willing to help me, show me how to do it. And that really kept me here, knowing that I can do this thing one day at a time. I don't have to make commitment more than just the next 24 hours. That's all I need to know that I need to do. So I need to remember what attracted me to this program and why am I here and how do I get that back? So if we're returning, how do we get that back? I remember how good it feels. That's what I keep telling myself when I wasn't in. And how do I get back to that wonderful feeling of abstinence? And I needed to remember that. The other thing I need to remember is that I need to keep it green. We call that keeping it green, remembering where I came from. And if you're a newcomer and you're still struggling, then you know the feeling because you're still there. So what did it feel like? How bad was the pain? How much did I want to change? What was the embarrassment, the shame, the struggle to be with people out there, the not going out there, isolating, all these horrible feelings, not wanting to live, you know, and the depression. What about those feelings? How bad are they? How hurtful are they? I need program. I need program badly. I do not want to go back there, or I don't want to be in that situation. So these two things, what attracted me, and why am I happy that I'm in program, and then again, how bad was it in the past that makes me want to stay here or get back in here? Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan, would you like to share?
Sure. I'll preface it by saying I'm just going to find another way to say all the things that Cheryl said. She just encapsulated my thoughts point by point, but I will say that asking the sponsee, you know, where they are in their recovery journey, even if they're not thinking of it in terms of recovery quite yet, it really is still a diet for them, giving them the space to talk about where they are in this moment of relapsing and not fully committing or going back on their commitments or that sort of thing. And then I will speak about my experience, which is one of early on just having no personal hook for the spiritual piece of recovery. And the recognition of the need for that, and also the recognition that step one is essential. I am a compulsive eater. My life was unmanageable, and it was very much around the food, but it was also around behaviors, orientation of trying to control life, clearly not being able to control life, using anger and food and just overthinking things to try to control, being miserable, having terrible personal relationships, and not wanting to go back there. You know, and I have moments of slipping back in that direction of thoughts and behaviors. But it's, you know, it's never forgetting what it was like that really helps reset those thoughts and sometimes slips of behavior that help me stay absent and help me stay committed to my program. But beyond step one, it is also finding a way to a higher power, a spiritual understanding that gets me outside of that self will run riot. I got to do it myself. That's the only way. There's, you know, it's no one else is there for me. Finding a higher power that I can feel the support of, I can turn to, I can surrender to, I can feel held by, and all those pieces. So for me, those slippy places of my mind just have an automatic go back to step one, reviewing what it was like and the recognition I don't want to go back there. And then step two, power greater than myself, is it's just the 12-step recovery program, if it's the fellowship, or if it's an understanding of a higher power. Step three, turning my will and my life over to the care of that higher power on a moment-by-moment basis. It's, you know, I'm forever recommitting to turning it over and living my life under the care of a higher power, and then moving forward with commitment, daily commitment to my tools, to working the steps, to, you know, being in communion with my sponsor and my fellows and my program of recovery, getting out of that self. That's what I have to say in this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And I'm Suzanne. I'd like to add a little bit. I always take the loving approach because I do remember what it's like to be there. I've had sponsees tell me, you don't remember, you can't possibly remember how it feels because you've been absent in a while. Oh, no, I've made it a point to remember because I don't want to forget, so I don't go back there. But along the way of being here for a while, I've heard people who have long-term abstinence but perhaps slipped for a long time, my sponsor being one of them. And I go back to, we believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease. And so I always encourage my sponsees when they say, I can't get abstinent, or I can't stay abstinent, or I can't be abstinent, I like them to say, put that aside, and I want you to say you can and you are abstinent. As I remember hearing someone share, when they stopped saying that, it helped greatly. So that's one thing. I talk about the negative thinking of reaffirming negative thoughts and replace them with two or three positive thoughts. Perhaps they're beating themselves up because they ate, and I'm like, let's try something, let's think about something that good that you've done and focus on that. That's one thing I do. The other thing is, usually if someone is slipping, I won't say all the time, but most of the time, there's one of the tools they're either not doing, or they're not doing very well, or they're doing it reluctantly, or, you know, barely doing it. And that's where I say, okay, the writing, let's do more writing. And that seems to help. If that is the area that they're lacking in, or they need to do more of, or if they're barely making three meetings, I'll say, go to a meeting a day. Whatever, something a little different. But I try to give them my experience, strength, and hope on the negative thinking, because I've been there, done that one, and it has been very helpful. And with that, I pass. Does anybody have any questions or would like to share on what do we do with our sponsees if they can't get the 7 or 30 days?
Susan, is this just like we can share, just share on this?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, panel, for your shares. They're wonderful and very nourishing for me this morning. I have had sponsees like that, as I'm sure everyone has. I have been a sponsee like that. And what I try to do now is usually the answer is in steps 1, 2, and 3. Somebody's not doing something somewhere with steps 1, 2, and 3, or 1, or 2, or 3. And I try to ask questions. And I try to make it gentle but direct, not accusatory, but just ask them some questions. Like, you know, one person had told me that it was not true for them that nothing tasted better than abstinence felt. She said the food tasted better to her. And I said, well, that's probably why you can't be abstinent. It's still working for you. And I didn't tell her to go away. I didn't tell her don't ever call me again, but that's what happened after that. And so she had her answer. And that's what I try to do is ask questions and ask, you know, about the first step. And then if they know that seems like they got that one down, then I ask about the second step because it usually seems to lie in there. So anyway, that's just my experience up to this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Would someone else like to share on this or ask a question?
Hi, Suzanne. Good morning. It's Gina. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thank you, Gina. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that came to mind for me, especially in my own early abstinence, was just that perception that, you know, you get excited to start a program, something new, but then it often feels like a really big loss of freedom. And as a sponsor, one of the things that I really try to do is to, you know, guide, but also extend the feeling of equanimity with my sponsee. You know, I remember how difficult it was just to absorb so much new information in the program, and it's confusing, and I remember thinking that I was eating abstinently, and just the way that I was doing something, my sponsor put me back to day one, and I think that happened twice, and I was brokenhearted. So that feeling of partnership with the sponsor, you know, I have always had something with authority. I don't know, a feeling of authority. It's like I will follow, but that level of kind of respect that comes from just knowing that somebody's got your back. I really try to sponsor with structure, but also a loving heart. And I feel like that has been helpful to discuss, you know, things as they arise. I remember feeling as a sponsee that if I didn't do it right, I couldn't show up to my sponsor, to my program. And I remember my sponsor saying, hey, that's why we're here. If you did it right, if you didn't screw things up, if you didn't bring things forward, like, you wouldn't need a program. And so I try to remember those things. I remember in one of my first successful relationship sponsoring a sponsee. Thank you. She was having difficulty calling me on time and giving herself that 15 minutes of uninterrupted time in the morning for us to be together. And it just kind of came out of my mouth, like, what would it take for you to give yourself this level of self-care? And she burst into tears in public. And she wrote about it. And that kind of transformed her program because she hadn't been able to really look at it that way, that she was giving this to herself. In that moment, it was like, oh, I'm showing up for this person. I have to do this thing. You know, it was a real struggle. But that really helped her get abstinent because she realized she wasn't doing it for me. She was doing it for herself. I try to remind myself that when I bump up against challenges where I don't want to do the tools, I don't understand what I'm doing, you know, I just slow it down. I talk to my sponsor about it, and a lot of times, you know, just that level of humility it's taken for me to realize, that I'm just also growing. No matter where I am in this program, I try to also relate that to a struggling sponsee. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina. Would someone else like to share?
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Nahama in New York.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you for your service. What wonderful shares. So, you know, in the literature it says that we should redouble our spiritual efforts if we're having trouble. And it also says, and as Bill sees it, you know, to help the person to have compassion for themselves, you know, that they may be going through a harder time than others, and you know, so spiritual efforts can be very obscure and remote to somebody who's getting instant gratification from the food. So, you know, specifics would be like make phone calls and ask the person, what are you doing to keep your abstinence today? And if they're willing to sit down for 5 minutes and meditate and pray. Also on a physiological level, I've had people, I've suggested that they get up and have a big glass of water before they eat, or to have, ask them if they're willing to have a cup of vegetables before they have whatever it is that they're wanting. And in many cases, I've heard people say that that, you know, turn things around for them. For me, I think one of the most significant turnarounds over decades of struggling, like over 40 years, and, you know, for 25 of those years struggling, something like that, the thing that really had a strong impact on me was this woman who sat down with me. You know, she closed the door. She sat down. Thank you. She sat down alone with me, and she said to me, I don't know what to say to help you. And, you know, the bottom line was I got her heart. I got that she really cared about me and she wanted to help me. She didn't know how to help me. She did make some suggestions, and I did take those suggestions, but that was the thing that really turned it around big time for me. That and going when phone meetings started. But because I didn't realize that I needed a meeting at least once a day, I needed the meeting, because otherwise I went into denial. And, you know, anyway, so, you know, her loving care was very significant to me. And that's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to share, ask a question?
This is Cheryl, compulsive eater. I'd just like to add something. I heard someone say that in terms of when it gets too hard and I don't feel like writing or I don't feel like making outreach calls, and it's like something I have to do. And then I heard someone say, this is something I get to do. Not that I have to do. I'm lucky that I get to do this. And that the whole different, you know, spin on it for me. So, yes, you know, writing has become easier because I get to do that. I get to realize that when I do sit and write, even if it's just for 10 minutes or 5 minutes, depending on how much time I have, it changes. It changes the day. It changes the mood. Whatever it is I'm writing on, right now the question I'm writing on is the daily reflections. So, wow, that's amazing. Or any question at all. Once I sit down, put pen to paper or take my computer and write, it's amazing the change that comes over me. So I get to do it today. Thanks. One more point is one that was mentioned before. We don't discuss food here, but something that was mentioned to have something. When we feel like we want something, we have to remember that it's 3 meals a day. I don't want to correct anybody, but if any newcomer misunderstood that, we only have 3 meals a day, nothing in between except sugar-free soda, water, etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Would someone else like to share or ask a question on this?
This is Elaine. May I share?
Yes, go ahead, Elaine.
First of all, thank you for this topic. It is a topic that is dear to my heart that I am constantly seeking answers to, so thank you for that. One of the things that it seems that happens sometimes, I'll call it a brain bomb, that somebody is doing really well, and then brain bomb comes, and the idea pops into their head, eat this, take this, whatever it is. And everything goes out the window. And it's not as if I have any solution to that. I just want to name it because that's what it seems like sometimes. I remember in the early stage of my abstinence, so two things that happened that were really game changers for me. The first, and I had been in another program for 3 years, unable to get abstinent. And I remember my sponsor saying to me in that program, why didn't you just call me? Why didn't you just make the call? I don't know. I just didn't, was my answer. But one day in this program, I had my hand on the refrigerator. I took it off the refrigerator, and I made a call. That was huge. It was huge. And again, I know that doesn't work for everyone because I've had a sponsee who has really tried historically to do this, and she still had trouble. But that was one thing that worked for me. And another time, I was sitting outside of a store, and I made an outreach call, and I said to the person, I could eat a cow. And the person said to me, let's say the first 3 steps together. And so she did that with me. We just said those steps. And as it's been said before, the thought passed. The thought went by. And so, you know, attending to steps 1, 2, and 3 really makes a difference, because in those moments we are powerless. And then finally something else that struck me in the course of
1 minute,
the beginning, when we talk of what does it mean, the question, what does it mean to work the steps on a daily basis? What does that mean? Well, what I just said is part of this, but I also want to just focus on step 11 for a moment, because step 11, particularly the 11th step prayer, make me a channel of thy peace. Where there's hatred, may I bring love. Where there's wrong, may I bring a spirit of forgiveness. That whole, and this is on page 99 in the 12 and 12, is again a brain shift. And anything that we can do to shift our brain in those moments of the brain bombs is helpful. And so I really, again, appreciate your focusing on this. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Elaine. Would someone else like to share or ask a question?
Suzanne, what was the specific topic we were discussing?
Yes, when someone, your sponsee, can't get 7 or 30 days, what do you do to help that sponsee?
All right, I'm Patsy, I'll share. I'm Patsy, I'm a compulsive reader, and thank you for your service, all of you who are on and doing this. I love listening and gaining new tools and just listening to others' experience, strength, and hope. So first of all, usually when I have a sponsee that's struggling, I do not, like, I'm very open and honest and say, you know, I, by the grace of God, do not have experience with losing abstinence and constantly slipping, but my thoughts and my obsessions and my emotional, you know, sobriety isn't always on and isn't always perfect. And I get the feeling and I get the, so I'm just like very open and honest. And sometimes I tell them, you know, like call people that have experience with a specific thing because I don't want to misguide you, or maybe you could get more, you know, experience from them. And then also for myself to remember to really keep it simple and stay in the moment, because I like to overcomplicate things and I always think there's some magic, like, you know, solution, or I'm not doing it right and like doubting myself. And then I'm just like, hey, it's a simple program. Like, all I need to do is whatever I'm doing, like just make an outreach call. It doesn't have to be all fancy or all connecting or whatever. And just commit my food and just weigh it. And, you know, like literally just follow one step at a time, one tool at a time, one moment at a time. And I actually just experienced this past Friday where I had a food thought and I was like, hey, who says I'll get through the weekend abstinence? And I got a little panicky. And then I was like, okay, that's a normal thought. Like, I can just make some outreach and share that I'm feeling this way, you know? And then, hey, like, if I forget that I'm powerless, that was a good reminder. And please, God, help me, because I am feeling like I will want to overeat this weekend. And thank you. And you, God, can help me. So, I don't know. I don't have, like, the patience or time to go into this whole fight with myself. So, God, just help me. And by the grace of God, really by the grace of God, he helped me. And obviously me just doing the measures of, you know, weighing and measuring and making an outreach and all that. So I guess my main point that I want to say is that, you know, we're all in this together, and sometimes I forget that. And I'm like, oh, she's got very long-term abstinence, she doesn't get me. Or like she's all healed or she's all good, or, you know, they're all, you know, they're no other. We're all here for the same purpose, and we all have, we share a common problem and a common solution. So, you know, sometimes I forget that, so I just like to remember that, and I guess keep it simple. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patsy. Would someone else like to share or ask a question?
Hello, Dave. Can anybody share? Anybody ask anything?
You can ask, yes. Anybody can ask a question.
I can ask a question. I'd like to know about medical abstinence. I'd like to know what experience you have with medical abstinence, dealing with a mental illness, with types of meds that make you want to eat and makes you gain weight anyways. Two things. Make you gain weight and increases your appetite. Does anybody know that type of medical abstinence?
Thank you, Dave. And here we're asking questions about if you can't get 7 or 30 days here. But if you want to call me, we can talk about that. I think you have my number. Give me a call. Thank you. Would anyone else
Cheryl
like
from Alphabeta.
Yes, go ahead, Cheryl.
To address that question in context of what we're discussing right now, if I have a sponsee that's struggling with just that, they're having trouble either psychiatrically or taking medication that wants them, makes them want to eat. We discuss that, you know. So for one thing, I'll have her sit down with her psychiatrist, doctor, or, you know, medical person, and see if there is anything else that can be given that will not create food cravings, and go from there. And, you know, this is particularly difficult for them. But we can discuss it. We can discuss it. We can talk about it. We can see if there are things that we can do. The best part is that sponsee is being honest. That sponsee is telling me, or anyone else, her sponsor, but what is really going on? What is happening? And these are physical things. These are actual things. These are not something people think up or excuses for why they can't lose weight. These are there. So discussing it with the medical person, seeing if there's any help there, and then deciding, because we read that in the See How Concept. Is it See How Concept or How It Works? Is that How It Works? is that there, you know, this program can work with even with people that have emotional, that have mental problems. This can work if they choose to. So there are ways to overcome that. There are things to do. You might need to reach out and speak to someone that's got that situation, or you might try to see if your sponsor can help you find someone that can help you in that situation. This program can work for anyone, but it is tougher for someone that has a situation like that. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl, for answering that in a very general way. I just didn't want to get into a very particular situation. Anyone else? Thank you, Dave, for asking it. Would someone else like to share or ask a question on this topic? Well, we have a few more minutes. The other topic we were discussing is, what about that person that's coming back to program and they say they're afraid? What can we do to help that person? What can we say? Cheryl, would you like to begin, and then we'll go with Susan?
Okay, thank you. Fear. Fear was the greatest challenge that I had coming into program. It was, I can't share like that. I can't be like that. I don't have the background. I don't have the college education and degree that these people have. Their sharing is so wonderful. I couldn't possibly do that. So I didn't share for like 6 months out of fear. It was only after my sponsor made me get up and do that, so that I got up in my first meeting. I said, I'm Cheryl Compulsive Eater. My sponsor made me do this, and I sat down. But it broke the ice, and I was able to get past that fear. The other fears was fear of failure. You know, I'll do this thing. People will know they started something new again, and I'm going to fail like I failed with other programs before. So there's a bunch of fears that happen, you know. Fears of speaking to my sponsor. How am I going to tell I didn't do the question today? I couldn't because so-and-so's legitimate excuses, reasons, not excuses. The fear of my sponsor. You know, what's she going to say? What's she going to think? I'm wasting her time. You know, all these things, what I've learned in program as a sponsor and sponsee is that we're here. This is a loving program. I love my sponsor. We have a great relationship. And I've not always had that with every sponsor that I've had over the years. But right now I do, and if something happens, I always tell people, if you're not comfortable with your sponsor for some reason, you're just not clicking, you know, it's not a personal thing. Just move on, try to get yourself someone else in a kind, compassionate way. But right now I have a wonderful relationship, and so there's no fear. I have to know that I want to work this program so badly, but it's got to be on life's terms. I have life out there, you know, and so things happen that I couldn't write. We discuss it, and I'll write tomorrow. You know, if I didn't eat at 6 o'clock, I ate at 8 o'clock because something happened, we'll discuss it. You know, there are things that that I put so much pressure on myself before and was fearful of. I don't need to do that today. I want to be happy and joyous and free. I want to enjoy this program. You know, there are plenty of pressures out there, the challenges in life. I want this program to be a good one for me, a happy one. So I work on that one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Susan?
Hi. Fear is a large part of my disease, and I venture to say, likely every addict's disease. And and acknowledging that, letting it be true, and instead of letting that be the end of the thought, adding and, yes, I am fearful, and I long for recovery. I long for, you know, and so this is one way to talk about it with someone who is struggling. Why? What attracts you to this program? What small hope do you have? And what are you willing to do? Talking about, you know, taking that first step of speaking up, or making an outreach call, you know, not ready to speak up at a meeting level, but are you willing to take numbers down? Every person who gives their number out at a meeting, write down those numbers. Make little notes about maybe what they said or what the meeting was about, so you have an opening, or just a willingness to make that call, whether or not you reach that person on the call, the outreach call, leave a message. Say, you know, you're new and wanting to know more. Coach the person through what it is they might be willing to do. Push them just a little bit, just a little bit, to take some action. For me, having time of meditation, of just being quiet, not having other distractions, and centering with my breath is a way of quieting those fears, coming to the center, which I think is connected to higher power, and working at that level. You know, wherever that person is willing to go, the actions they're willing to take, the different way of thinking they're willing to consider, that's a starting place, and encouraging them to find the pathway to recovery that is right for them. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. I'm Susanna. I'd like to share on this. I do outreach calls to people who have left program, and just to let them, well, some of these people, some of them I have great relationships with, and, well, actually all of them, the ones I call. And when someone comes back, sometimes they'll call me and say, I'm back, but I'm afraid. And I encourage them, and I say, oh, because they say, you know, people are judging me because I left, or I feel judged. And I have to remember, and I remind the person, that it is our negative thinking. I can remember when I was into the disease, I did not feel part of. I did not feel loved. I didn't have a lot of love for myself. And I didn't feel love from the group that I was in at that time. And I remember that. And I remind the person, who are you doing this for? It's for you. It is for you. And it doesn't matter what other people think or judge or don't think. It's what you do and why you're here. And it doesn't matter. And I remind them, when we're in our disease, we have these negative thoughts. We have the fears. For me, fear ruled my life once upon a time. And it's that fear of failure. It's the fear of being judged, not loved. And I say, I know, I remember how I was like when I was like that. And it's okay. And if you want to feel safe, if you have a small circle of people you feel safe with, stick with a small circle of people. Outreach people that you feel safe with until you can stretch your limits a little bit and step out of the box a little bit. But right now, if you just need to stick with a few people until you have better grounding, then that's what you need to do. But I do remind them, this is a program, this is for you. I work my program for me, and you work it for you. We're not here to people please. And I have to remember that as well. And with that, I pass. Would someone like to ask a question or share on this? Susan and Cheryl, any final thoughts? And we can, seems like nobody has any comments.
This is Susan, compulsive eater. Compassion, empathy, I too have these had these sorts of experiences. Those are the underlying thoughts and messages that are most helpful, I believe, to as how to address somebody who is struggling. To stay abstinent, to come back to program, to claim one seat, and to move forward in their recovery. This, too, is available to all who want it and are willing to take the steps a day at a time to find their way in their recovery.
This is Cheryl. I'd just like to make one more point. in terms of a newcomer or a sponsor or someone that's slipping, I used to be terribly embarrassed, ashamed, and angry when I was asked to go back to the first 30 questions or start counting again. And, you know, it's like, why? You know, and what did I do wrong? And I'm no good, and I'll never be good at this, and I can't do this thing. All this negative garbage would come back, you know, real quickly. And so today I tell my sponsor, it's okay, you know. I've been told in the past that whether I start counting again now, and, you know, if I've got 10 days and I have to start over, if I've got 30 days and start over, what matters is, someone once told me, a sponsor, what matters is the end of 6 months. You're not going to remember when you started counting again, but you're going to have 6 months, and you're going to look at your weight then, and it's going to be wonderful. So right now, if I have to start over, you know, which is what I felt, and tell a newcomer, don't worry about it. If they're unhappy with having to start the first 30-day questions, we'll start some other questions. And I'm compassionate with that. I used to think, no, it's by the book, you know, go back to the first 30 questions. And so I know that it's so important to understand and be in the head of the person that's slipping or the person that's having a hard time and struggling. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Bottom line is, we keep coming back, and we work it, and we bring a lot of love. So our next sponsorship forum is May 6th, is that correct, Susan?
Yes.
Okay, our next sponsorship forum is May 6th. We're going to close with Serenity Prayer. I'll turn the recording off, and then we'll leave our phone numbers if we want to. Thank you, everybody, for letting us be of service. Please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can't change. And the wisdom to know the difference. I will.
Thank you very much for the great meeting.